in the Lord. Good to see Brother and Sister Dewhurst right down from our part of the country. Really appreciate the good work being done at the home there, at the village for the Lord. Let's take our Bibles, if we would, today and turn to John's Gospel, chapter 14. John's Gospel, chapter 14, verse 1. John's Gospel, chapter 14, verse 1. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go ye know, and the way ye know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also. And from henceforth ye know him and have seen him. Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Jesus saith unto him, Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that has seen me has seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, Show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? In the words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me. He doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me. Or else believe me for the very word or work's sake. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. Whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Also, verse 27, Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Might we pray? Father, what a joy it is to gather in the name of the Lord today, the Lord Jesus, the one who saved us from our sin. We thank you for your blessing here to your people through these many, many years. We thank you for the joy of knowing the Lord, for knowing that Christ is the Savior of sinners. We pray for those who are sick. Many of our friends have been mentioned. They're sick and they're in need. So we just pray that you will be there in the sick room with each one of them and lift them up in the things of our wonderful, wonderful Lord. We just pray for your real blessing in a real special way. We pray for the work of the Lord here in the Virginia area. And thank you for your wonderful blessing to the people here. We pray for those down in Victoria. We pray that you will be with them in a real special way as they all seek a testimony for the Lord to the glory of Him, meeting in His precious name in this area of the country. Bless those who have problems, trials, lift them up in the way, and we'll give you all the praise. In Jesus' name, amen. I'd like to just look at one verse with you today. Verse 1. Verse 1 of John 14. Notice those words. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. What a powerful verse this is. What a lovely verse it is. Let not your heart be troubled. I remember many years ago the Lord brought this verse to my mind. You know, it's possible being saved and to know the Lord. And you know, as Christians, we ought to all be happy. Isn't that right? We've got a reason to be happy. My dear friend, my sins are gone. They're washed away. Jesus is my Savior. I'm bound for glory. You're bound for the glory in the Lord Jesus Christ. Come what will, come what may, you're saved. And you know this wonderful, precious Savior. We can't lose. It's wonderful to be in this glorious blessing with the Lord. For the Lord spoke to my heart many years ago that this was right here for me, that I could enjoy so many of these things the Lord has for me and the Lord has for you. For He says very plainly, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. Oh, may each one of us as a Christian appropriate this to our lives. In a world of trial, in a world of problems, in all these many things, and life hasn't been the same since 9/11, has it, dear friends? We see many things that are possible in this world today in which we live, but thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now we notice here it says, let not your heart be troubled. I was thinking about the word trouble and was thinking really, especially specifically, what kind of trouble? And what do we look in it? And tonight, as the Lord might lead, He would continue to lead us along those lines in verse 27. Another word is used there, very similar to that, but He sticks with this word trouble. And what does it mean? It means to disturb. It means to disturb. And we live in a disturbing world. There's so many, many things. We live in an unsettled world. It is an unsettled world. Up and down. And no one ever knows just what is going to happen. Think of that, dear friend. A world of commotion. More and more when I drive an automobile, I realize what it is to drive an automobile today. And one day I remember when it was unusually hectic, and you know how it is, and all of us experience that. You really have to watch yourself in these days in which we live. It's a world of confusion. It's a world of all of those things. And remember the man who was sick, and he wanted to come to the pool. And remember, there were times, it says, when the angels troubled the waters. Here is that same word, troubles the waters. And it's used there, that which troubles. And we think of what the Bible says, the wicked are like the troubled sea when it cannot rest. We think of disturbance. And you know, your life can be turned upside down in just a moment of time. Things can be changed. And those around you that you love, they can be changed. And life can change in a real way, in which ways we do not know. We can never sit back and say, well, I've got it made, and everything is just like I want to, and I don't have a care in this world. We never, ever want to say that, because we never know what a day may bring forth. I try to say often, don't you, if the Lord will. If the Lord will. And if the Lord wills to come, wouldn't that be wonderful today? If the Lord would come, that would be the best part of it all. So trouble, we read, let not your heart be troubled. And notice it mentions the heart. Dear friend, the heart means to you and me the seat of our decision. The heart is what you really are. The heart is what I really am in my deepest soul, in my deepest life. It means what I really am. And you know, as you look at that, Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. There's a song that says, if your heart keeps right, and it goes, that melody comes right into it over and over. If your heart keeps right, you can wear a happy smile. You can go along the way if your heart keeps right. Aren't you glad for salvation that converts you, changes your heart, gives you a new life in the Lord Jesus Christ? Let not your heart be troubled. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And we see those things. Where is our treasure? What do we really count as dear to our soul? And dear friend, let us realize in this, let us realize in our wonderful Lord, in our heart, because we know Him as our personal Savior, we realize the heart has been changed and everything's all right in the deepest recess of our soul and our life. Let not your heart be troubled. Now, we love the translation given here, and I want to speak of how some scholars, now looking at those, not trying to say how it should be, but there are many competent scholars who point out that these are all probably commands, imperatives. All of these words are probably commands to us. It makes little difference in the reading of the words, which are beautiful as they are, any way that you put it. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. But as you look at it, I believe it is Eugene Peterson translates it, don't let this throw you. You trust God, don't you? Trust me. They're all commands. Stop letting your heart be troubled. Present tense. Continuous. Stop letting your heart be troubled. Believe in God. The word also and it joins the me with God, and believe in me. Now there's some great truths in that verse, in those words that we see. Believe in God and believe in me. Jesus is saying, I am God. And you know, it's a wonderful thing to realize that Jesus is God today. Oh, dear friend, as we look in this Word, we see that the Lord Jesus Christ is God. And Jesus says, you believe in God. He says, you believe in me. This verse is powerful indeed when we come and the Lord Jesus says it to us. Now, the context of it, we realize, is these are part of the last words of our Lord to His disciples. He's getting ready to go away. He's going to die, but He's going to be raised again, and that's the good part of it. And the Holy Spirit is coming. And dear friend, in the light of that, He's saying to His disciples, don't let your heart be troubled. I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to be with you. Like the Course says, everything's all right in my Father's house. In my Father's house. Come and go with me to my Father's house. Everything is right. Believe in God and believe in me. But He was also thinking of what His disciples would go through. You know, you can go through real sorrows in this life, and they were getting ready to go through those sorrows, and Jesus was preparing them for it. And He says, stop letting your heart be troubled. He says, you believe in God, and He wants to get them ready for His departure, and He says, you believe in me. That's a powerful truth in the Word of God. Does the Bible ever say that Jesus is God? I've had people ask me that, haven't you? Where does the Bible say Jesus is God? And you feel like saying, well, where have you been? Where have you been? Here is a strong testimony. Jesus says, believe in God, believe in me. You wouldn't say that, would you? You wouldn't say, believe in God, believe in me. I wouldn't say that. Believe in God, believe in me. He's the same one who said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He is the same one who said, I am the bread of life. He is the same one, dear friend, who walked upon the water. The sea became for Him a pallet, and He walked upon it. He spread a table for the thousands. He rose triumphant over death, over hell, and over the grave. And that same Lord says to you and to me, you believe in God, believe also in me. Recently I went through a problem in my own life, and I thought, Lord, there's some things that I would love for you to answer and to do. And it seemed like the Lord was taking his time about it. Have you had those experiences? I was listening on television to a speaker. You would know him. I won't mention his name. But he was speaking on John 11. And how I remember when Lazarus was sick, it was time to go on down there. When people get sick, you go to see them. You go see about them and so forth. The Lord Jesus purposely delayed. And the brother brought out so well that the Lord Jesus may purposely delay, but he's always going to answer in his way, yes, no, wait, whatever it is, the Lord answers prayer. You know, my faith went strong. My faith came out strong, and I thought, well, Lord, if you're not worried about it, neither am I. And the Lord began to answer so many prayers, I began to see them all come. And see, I needed more faith to look to the Lord and believe Him. And I got so I was careful what I prayed for, because the Lord was answering prayers. And as we see it, we want to realize He is God. Jesus is the Lord of heaven. He created the heavens and the earth. He made everything. He is God. He is Lord. And He's my Savior. And He's your Savior, dear friend. And what a wonderful Savior is Jesus, my Lord. What a wonderful Savior to me. You know, we can't sing enough songs about Him. Wonderful grace of Jesus. Sometimes down in Silver City, when John Hancock, a pianist, comes home, he plays Wonderful Grace of Jesus, and we get it rocking. We get it rocking. It is a beautiful hymn, and we can sing out to the glory of God. And dear friend, may our faith be strengthened today. Let us realize whatever we're in, whether we're young or whether we're old, whether we're in difficulty or not, you remember the Lord loves you. And you remember the Lord is with you. And wherever you are, in whatever straits you are, Jesus is there with you. Command ye believe in God, believe also in me. I read about a gospel preacher, widely used of the Lord, and he had preached many years. You know, you can preach for many years, and that doesn't mean trouble won't come your way. And suddenly troubles came his way, and he was sad, and he was darkened by it all. He was in his home, and some brothers came over and talked to him, and he thought that would cheer him on, but it didn't seem to help. The night began to wax old. His wife and daughter went up to bed. He was lying there on the couch. There he stayed for a long time. And you know, he said, the Lord, it seemed to him, brought His Word home to him. He brought this very text out to him, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. His troubles were lifted. He had the victory over them. He had a sense of the presence of the Lord with him. And the Lord was there with him right in that room. Well, praise the Lord. You know, dear friend, when the worst happens, remember the best remains. Remember the Lord is there with us in every way, in sickness, in sorrow, in trouble. We read so much today in the papers of jails, of death rows, of asylums, of all of these trials that people go through. But in the midst of it, whatever world we live in, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. I'd like for you to think with me about how to handle trouble. How to handle trouble. I'm sure all of you are like I am. I don't go looking for trouble, right? I mean, there's enough trouble. I don't look for it. I don't find people call up and say, well, bring me lots of trouble. I love trouble. And I just can't wait to have it. No, I stay away from it as much as I can, don't you? We want to do that. Don't trouble trouble till trouble troubles you. Walking in Silas City, I like to walk a lot. I happened to walk, I kind of tiptoed by a chow dog. I didn't know if the dog wanted me to go by or not, but the dog was sleeping. And you know, that little saying popped into my mind, let a sleeping dog lie. So I tipped on by. The dog slept on, and I was gone. You know, that's the best thing to do with trouble. You would think of you don't want to look for trouble. I remember some years ago, Golda Mae and I down in Victoria, Virginia. Never will forget that year. Maybe you've had a year like that. Everything in the house seemed to break. Well, we had a nice home and everything usually worked out well. But I think the roof went. That was one of the things we had to have a new roof. I don't remember them all in the exact chronology, but as my memory serves, many of those came at the same time. The furnace went and we had to have a new furnace. And then part of the plumbing on a Sunday afternoon, I was sitting there and I heard a pop. Oh, well, honey, what's that? So I got up and looked, and some of the plumbing had gone and the water was just coming out. So I didn't know what to do right at first. So my wife said, well, turn it off. So we turned it off. That was the first thing to do. And so we finally got that fixed. And I don't remember the many things that happened in that 1 year. But you know, it gets to you, doesn't it? When everything comes. And you know, when it rains, it pours. Haven't you found that true? When it rains, it pours. But you know, here is a verse, dear friend, that tells you, it speaks to me, it tells, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. One man said this was a bonny word. I guess he was from Scotland. A bonny word. It is a bonny word. Another said, oh, it's a great comfort. Another said, oh, it prepares my heart for the blessing of the Lord. All of those things, it is a bonny word. Dear friend, in the valley of the shadow of death, we need fear no evil, regardless of what comes our way. The Lord Jesus Christ is there to lead and to guide and to help us in every way. Let not your heart be troubled. You know, there's so many sorrows in this world. Sometimes that bothers me about reading the newspaper. I'm an avid reader of the newspaper. Love to read the newspapers, but sometimes it does heap down upon me. And I read once about the little girl who was in a hockey game some months ago, sitting there watching the hockey game and was hit on the head by a puck. Passed away. You know, that's sad. So many sadnesses that come. The papers are full of them. And you know, there's a sadness in this world. A world of sorrow in which we live. Dear brother down in Victoria passed away and came back for his funeral on Monday. We love the brother in the Lord. He knew the Lord Jesus as his own personal Savior. But we think of Hemingway when he wrote that novel, For Whom the Bell Tolls. The bell is the funeral bell, and it tolls for every man, and every man is a part of all he meets and all he sees. Yet in this world of sorrow, in this world of sadness, oh, dear friend, we realize the Lord has the answer to us in a day of troubles. I'm sure your Bible is well thumbed in this passage of Scripture. I know my Bibles are well thumbed at John 14. You know, John 14 is used a lot at funerals. And that's all right. Praise the Lord. It's a good text for a funeral. But dear friend, let's remember this. It's not especially for dying. It's more for living. For Jesus is talking to His disciples, and He's saying to them who are living, He is saying, let not your heart be troubled. And there is the mention of it in that life. One brother was told that he was dying, and he said, praise the Lord. That's what I've been living for. And you know, really, when you think about it, it'll come to us all if the Lord be not come. But hallelujah, praise His name, dear friend, as we look upon it. Jesus is the one who had the victory over death, over hell, and over the grave. A brother once was traveling, and he was going along a highway by the sea. He suddenly became very sad. His heart was really taken in. He stopped his car, walked down by the sea, and he looked out. And he said, and about this I could not say, I do not know, but I was moved by it. He said that an older lady came down, spoke to him, and used this verse, let not your heart be troubled, ye believe in God, believe also in me. After a while, she was gone. He didn't know where she came from or where she went. I have no idea, but I do know this, dear friend, wherever we are, the Lord has a word for us. And He can lift up our hearts to His glory and to His praise. We've all known about the Aucca Indians and the missionaries that were slain back in 1956 for many years. A number of these men went to Wheaton College, and one of them was Jim Elliott. But I learned some things I didn't know about that. I learned one thing about it was why the missionaries were killed. And that was learned some years later. They had a photograph of one of the ladies that had left the tribe. And he took that out. And that was a fatal mistake because the natives didn't know what a photograph was. And they thought they had killed, like head shrinking or something like that, I would suppose. They thought that they had killed the dear lady. And the other was I did not know was the fact of why they were saved. And these are some of the wives of those missionaries who supplied other information in other years that they heard something. They looked and there was something like 100 flashlights. And they saw there lights over the treetops. And there they heard music and they heard singing. I don't know what it was, but I praise the Lord that those natives, many of them were saved to the glory of God. And Jim Elliott certainly gives a strong testimony in the assemblies, used of the Lord for many years, and certainly gives a stirring testimony of the Lord's faithfulness to those men. They died, but dear friend, think of the doors that had been opened and the lives that had been touched through those young men and that sacrifice for the glory of the Lord. You know, dear friend, not many of us are worth anything until we go through something. You know that? Until we've suffered in life. When we go along in life, it's always good. We really don't sacrifice anything for the Lord. We have it made, so to speak. We live very well and so forth. Many of us don't really know what it is to suffer for the Lord Jesus Christ. But I believe some who have gone through those sufferings, they've learned something of the Lord Jesus Christ and of His tremendous love for the souls of men. And dear friend, may we all learn it in what way or ever way the Lord would have us love it or learn it. The love of God through Christ our Lord. This is seen in this command, I believe, to let not our hearts be troubled. We believe in God, believe also in me. Now, you know, as you think about what the Lord has done for us, I am also reminded of 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And to me, It's beautiful there as we think about the Lord, what He's done for us. It says, "Oh death," verse 55, "Oh death, where is thy sting? Oh grave, where is thy victory?" The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. John Mills tells John, Uncle John there tells about being in a home of one of the brethren there in Raleigh, and this insect got in there, a stinging insect, and he was afraid of it. This brother comes right over and grabs it in his hand and kills it right there. John's looking, he was amazed at just what happened. He said, "Oh, it's already used its sting. It can't sting anymore. The sting was gone." That makes a big difference, doesn't it? You know, dear friend, I believe Jesus took the sting out of death. I believe Jesus took the power out of death for you and for me in that life. And it says the sting of death is sin and the strength of sin is the law. And it goes on to say, "But thanks be to God which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." Not defeat, dear friend, but victory, victory to the joy and the blessing of the Lord Jesus Christ. Always been interested in history. I was watching television the other night, and I saw on the educational TV there the story of the Hood, the battleship of the British, and how it was sunk by the German battleship that had just been made, the Bismarck. And then it goes on to show how that word was sent out to the British, "Sink the Bismarck." And they sank the Bismarck. And it showed all of that. And you know, when you think about, dear friend, in World War II, how victory was snatched out of defeat. When you think about Winston Churchill, the only one who was standing against Hitler and all of those that were coming against him, no one would seem to ally with Britain in those things, but he stood, and finally, others, our nation and others, joined in the battle, and we know what victory is. Victory! And dear friend, that's what Jesus did. Something greater than battleships. Jesus, when He died on the cross of Calvary, He claimed the victory. And He rose victorious over death, hell, and the grave. And He says, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast." Are you steadfast? Do I waver? Or am I steadfast? Unmovable. Don't be moved about. Always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. That's kept me going many years for the Lord. No matter what, no matter what comes, remember this, dear friend, it's never in vain. The Lord keeps the books, right? The Lord keeps the books, and the Lord does the work. I can't, you can't, and no one else can, but the Lord does it. Let not your heart be troubled. It is a command, but also it is a commitment. It says, "Believe in God and believe in me." Believe in God and believe in me. You know, it's real strong when we read about believing in Jesus. It often uses the preposition with it. Believe in me. And that strengthens it. Because belief doesn't mean just to believe it like I believe history. I mentioned that about history. I believe that. I believe it happened. But I didn't trust in history for salvation. But it means believe in me. It means to commit to the Lord Jesus Christ. It means all your confidence is in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what we do when we get saved. Praise His name today. We trust in the Lord and He saves our soul. Aren't you glad you're saved today, dear friend? Some of you have been saved a lot of years. I know it. And I praise the Lord for it. Rejoicing in the Lord because Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. He's just as wonderful as ever, isn't He? To know Him, So here is a commitment to the Lord and to the things of our precious Savior. There was a creed which said, I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. Well, I don't find anything wrong with that. You? There's nothing wrong with that. What it says, I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, who made the stars. Believe in God, believe in me. You know, dear friend, I wonder, how does anyone look up in the stars at night and not believe in God? I've always liked that poem. Joyce Kilmer wrote it. It was a man. He was in the 165th Infantry in New York, born 6 December 1886, killed in action 30 July 1918, near Orsay, France. And he wrote the words, I think that I shall never see a poem lovely as a tree whose hungry mouth is pressed against the earth's sweet flowing breast, a tree that looks at God and lifts her leafy arms to pray, a tree that may in summer wear a nest of robins in her hair, upon whose bosom snow has lain, who intimately lives with rain. Poems are made by fools like me, but only God can make a tree. When I look at what God has done in this world, I am moved. But you know, perhaps tonight more on that, but you know, Jesus said, believe in God and believe in me. And you know, Philip said to Jesus, show us the Father and it suffices us. That's one of the saddest statements to me in the Word. And Jesus said to Philip, now Philip, have I been so long time with you and you've not seen me? Dear friend, he said, if you've seen the Father, you have seen me. That's what shows Jesus is God. You've seen the Father. You have seen me. He is God. And He died for me. And He died for you. And He is the Lord of heaven. He died. He was buried. He arose again. And dear friend, He is coming back triumphant forever and forever. I'm glad to be saved and to know the Lord. My message to you is this, and the simple message of this is, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My dear friend, the simple message is this, and you know it's easy to miss. You know what the simple message of that is? Faith. As a Christian, have faith in the Lord. Dear friend, sometimes a faith grows small. We have faith, but it grows small. Have faith in delay or whatever it is, for whatever task you're in. Believe that God is with you and His will be done. If you're not saved today, why not save in faith? He's the God of the universe. And you know He can save your precious soul today. Father, we thank You today for Jesus. We would seek to preach Jesus today. Nothing in our hands we have, nothing we bring, nothing we do, nothing we accomplish. We're nothing but You're everything, Lord. That's the thing. So we pray that You'll just take Your word. We pray that You will touch some sinner's heart today, and may that soul trust in Jesus as his Savior. And we pray, dear Lord, that we as Christians may have more faith for whatever task we're in, for life, for our families, for whatever we're doing. We know that You will see us through. In Jesus' name, amen. You are dismissed.